Hey, it's Tim Kawakami, TK Show, recording this outside Oracle Park. Just concluded introduction of Buster Posey as the Giants' new president of baseball operations. Greg Johnson, the chairman, was there. Bob Melvin, the manager, was there. Just talked to Buster one-on-one myself. Nice little 11 minutes, I think. He's been talking all day, but just a little bit about when he decided to take this job, why he's taking this job. Priorities, models of what he sees. Maybe Chris Young he brought up, or I brought up, and he agreed. Some interesting names brought up. Nick Hundley, I think, is someone that maybe you can see coming in with a role on this team. Sorry for the cars driving by. I'm right here on King Street. And also, he brought up Brian Sabian several times. The press conference brought him up to me. I asked him specifically about Sabian maybe getting a role on his team. He said, we don't have to talk about it, but clearly that's somebody kind of a lodestar for Buster Posey, the way kind of he wants things to feel like and be run like. I would not be surprised to see Brian Sabian's name brought up many more times with the Buster Posey tenure. All right, everybody. I think it was a pretty good conversation. He's one of the favorite people I've ever interviewed. I think I'm on the record about that. And here's me and Buster Posey.
Tim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Tim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Greg just said that you really first brought it up to him a couple weeks ago, maybe. Was that something like you're thinking about, or he says, I've always said, hey, Buster, you're going to do this eventually. He's kind of jokes with you. When did it really start becoming a tangible thing in your head?
I think just probably watching the season and understanding, listening to Greg and some of the other board members, and thinking that we might need a change. Look, honestly, Tim, I wish we were sitting here talking, or I wish we were talking on the phone. It probably wouldn't be in person talking about the playoff team that we're right now. But I am excited to take on this challenge. I'm really trying to. I'm going to have to harness my compartmentalization skills again, and kind of look at each day and prioritize where we're at as far as what's the most urgent needs that need to be addressed. And it's a big learning curve, but again, I'm gonna have great people around me that are gonna help me with that.
You talk about learning curve. I know you study stuff. There's other players who basically walked into these kind of really top jobs without a lot of executive experience. Some very successful, Chris Young, obviously, some not. Jeter had a different kind of role. Mm-hmm. There's Jerry West is obviously the classic example. Have you looked at others? Have you talked to people? Like, how do you do this?
Yeah, I've actually got to know Chris a little bit when he was working in the commissioner's office before he took the job with the Rangers, and haven't spent a ton of time with him, but he's really close with Nick Hundley, who mm-hmm. I'm close with, and so it's been more about just talking to Nick and trying to understand, not even recently, just over the years, like understanding how CY operates and what he values, and plan on having more conversations. I'm going to talk to Sabes. I'm going to talk to Sabes and see what worked well with him, for him. And I do think that's a big part of it. Is it's like anything else, right? It's like a coach for a player. That coach has seen a lot. They've gone through a lot. They've experienced a lot. So it wouldn't be wise on my part not to listen to what those guys experience.
Could you bring Sabes in here?
I think I haven't talked. We texted last mm-hmm. night. I think I need to talk to him and understand. I know they're in Florida right now. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and just understand where he's at and where things are here. Like, that's, right after this, I'm going down and starting to dig in with some guys downstairs. So, a lot to do.
What does your relationship with Greg? We've talked about it. Like, you got to really know him kind of during the pandemic, kind of those discussions about getting back to play. How has that grown, and how important was that for you to do this? I imagine if you didn't really know the guy, you weren't doing this.
Very important. I mean, I think getting to know Greg better over the years is this guy just really cares about the Giants and putting a winning team. And I think it started with his dad and was passed on to him. But I mean, he lives and dies with the Giants, almost to the point where I'm like, Greg, it's the 30th game of the season. Like, yeah, it's going to be a long one if you're, you know, up and down like that. But you appreciate that, right? I mean, he's a fan, and I think it makes it easier for him to relate to all of our fans when he has that type of passion.
You spent time with him, right? I mean, you've been around him, so you really do know him. Do you consider like a friend? Is a
Yeah, I mean, I look, he's in this role, he's the boss, you know, he's the one that's making decisions. And yeah, I would consider Greg a friend. We've fostered a good relationship over the years.
Yeah, you signed some long-term deals. I think, what, 8-year deal was your last deal with the Giants? Was it 10? I can't even remember now.
For me,
yeah,
personally?
Yeah. Nine, okay. In between that. 3 years sounds short. Does that matter to you, or is like, did the length almost make no difference? You just figure
say that again.
3-year deal, as Greg announced, like, to do this.
Oh no, the length didn't make a difference. I'm honestly just looking at this again from, I mentioned compartmentalize. It's just really stay in the moment as much as I can. And, I know this is a unique opportunity, and you know, I'm hopeful that I can play a role in bringing back the next great team out there on the field. But ultimately, it's not my identity either, right? I mean, there's things in life that are more important than baseball. And I've got a loving wife and 4 loving kids. And whether it's this role or not this role, life's pretty good.
You do mention you did a memory-making business.
Yeah.
What is that like? Moments on the field. I mean, marketing can get off on another tangent.
Yeah, no, I don't think not marketing. I think it's more, you know, I guess some examples would be, you don't even have to be here at the field. Like, I've seen videos of during playoff runs for us where it might have been a big moment and there was 100 people in a bar in San Francisco and the TV's on and they all go bonkers. That's a memory. They're going to remember being in that moment. They're going to remember who they're with there. I think that's it. That when I talk about memories, it's the relationships that come from the moments in the game.
Do you have any that you go, yeah, this is, I remember it, and this is what I want people to remember, the feel about the Giants in your playing career?
Well, I think just the joy of the ride, right? The joy of the ride. The 2010 was the year of torture, but I don't think any fan would have it any other way, right? Because they got to experience the ultimate high, but it was a journey to get there. So I think that's it as much as anything, is what makes this game so unique from the other sports is, you know, I experienced it as a kid and I experienced the last few years. You turn on the TV in the evening, you got a game to watch, right? I mean, 162 times out of 100, and what are we at, 182 days or something like that. It's just a real opportunity for fans to fall in love with their favorite player or multiple favorite players.
All right, Buster, listen, I appreciate it.